Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bigamax Radio Podcast. This is another episode of Racer's Mindset. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. I'm on all these podcasts, and I will not do one of these episodes of Racer's Mindset without my co-host, Andrew Hobson, back from the half dead, and it looks like he's feeling a whole lot better than he was 2 weeks ago when we did one of these. Andrew, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, Brad. It's been a little long road of recovery, I guess, but certainly feeling a lot better than the last one I did. Don't have any brain fog for this one, but no, looking forward to getting back into it, being in the hot seat. It's always good to interview awesome people and get their stories, and it's also great for this one because this is our first repeat offender.
Repeat guest on the podcast, Sage Voda from First Form. Sage, welcome back to the show. You are your first repeat offender. Honestly, I kind of always, I thought it was going to be you. I wasn't 100% sure. Maybe it was going to be somebody else, but, yeah, the stars aligned. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to look back at Motocross the Nations. We're going to look forward to the Vet World Championships where both of us are competing. Welcome to the show.
Well, I don't know. Do I get a trophy or something for repeat offender? I don't know.
We'll get you a little something. There's probably like a little bowling trophy that I can get from a secondhand store. It would cost me an arm and a leg to ship it down to your house, but I can make it happen.
No, that's okay. Hey, we'll do a virtual one or something, but cool. No, it's definitely an honor. I definitely appreciate you guys, you know, having me back, and it means I didn't offend anybody or any guests or anything like that.
No. Enough
being back. So it's cool. I'm happy to be on.
Certainly. What it also means is that when we had you on last time, we had a ton of people who got a lot out of what you had to say. I think you're a really intelligent guy. You speak very well about being mindful about how we take care of ourselves, how we compartmentalize the goals that we set before ourselves, and then how do we end up achieving them? It's a process that you're familiar with. You put it into practice every single day.
Yeah. And, you know, truthfully in that, I'm definitely blessed to have, you know, a lot of different individuals around me, you know, here that we can kind of bounce back ideas and you kind of learn. And
Maddie Z.
But no, I think that's super important too, is like, because everything is really just a product of the environment, right? So being able to kind of take these principles and learn, just be a fly on the wall, happy to pay it forward.
Absolute. So, Hoppo, you're still like you're talking about you're on the road to recovery from obviously you had a gnarly incident that you dealt with only a few months. It's about what we're like 6 weeks out
five,
at this point.
Five, six weeks at this point in time. Yeah.
So take me through how you've sort of structured how you're. Like, I assume you're still at this point still kind of going off of what you're listening to your body. Taking it day by day, but at the same time, you sort of start to like kind of build in some periodization of this is how much I can bite off at this point. And when I get to maybe when I'm feeling a certain way or a certain amount of time has passed, now it's time to up my game a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I am not that I'm in pain like I used to be in the beginning. And I, you know, each day gets better and better. But you know, it feels like I have a corset on around my chest because of the, you know, the plates and the screws I have in my back of the ribs. But then I'm still dictated by, you know, with a broken collarbone and shoulder blade, like I had to force myself to walk after, you know, 4 or 5 days out of the hospital and, you know, the hospital and I don't mean this in any bad ways, but I mean, it was like illegal drug dealers, right? You need this. So I had to pull myself off that. And then go, all right, I can either sit on the lounge in pain or I can go do something in pain. And, you know, just sitting there in pain just is not good for anyone, the mind, the body, the soul, whichever way you want to look at it. So, you know, that led into just trying to walk. Those first 2 miles were absolute hell. I think I had a tear in my eye. And then I just kept walking past the bicycle going, I think I can ride that thing. You know, and then the shoulder and the collarbone, you know, could handle it. It was uncomfortable, but the main thing was that I was moving and blood was flowing. That's what started it. You know, there were some pretty tough days. There was days I was just in pain constantly, but again, you know, now much better being back to the gym. Again, still limited to the pain of picking up a weight. Actually, the exercise is not that bad. It's just certain movements that still hurt. you know, bicycle's getting better, back to 100 miles a week. This week might be a little more.
That's crazy.
Yes, I do want to ride a motorcycle, but I don't know when the right time is. It won't be till next year. It's not that I just don't think I could handle a tip over and just landing and just like, I'd have to go back because of something stupid. But not to say something can't happen on a bicycle either, right? But you just can't sit there. You have to move. You have to move. There's no way around it.
It's the zero option mentality, dude. Like the fact that you're back on a bicycle in the time frame that you have been, it just speaks volumes to your want to move. Like that literally, like you're like, I want to get back to where I was at. Like, there's people who like are fully able-bodied, not dealing with anything, and they've spent more time away from activity than you have. That honestly, I can't say enough good things about it. What do you think about all that, Sage?
Ocean is lotion, you know. Like,
no, that's what this episode's gonna be called.
Motion is lotion. It was when I first originally got the news and I saw in Brad's story and then kind of reading a little bit more details, I immediately texted, you know, Brad and as you got released, Hoppo, obviously you shot me some messages back and, I just remember like really shortly after that going through my Instagram stories one day and I see, you know, Strava update and it was like a walk. I'm like,
yeah,
who else, you know, who else right now would be out walking and getting, and then it's just slowly progressed. And that's been one of the highlights. When I see Hoppo post, you know, Strava update, and at first I think it was like maybe, you know, 15 minutes on the bike and then it was a little bit more and then it was a little bit more, like 20 plus miles. And I'm like, nothing can stop him. You know, it's an object in motion stays in motion.
Exactly.
Hoppo stays in motion.
Yeah. I mean, like before I had crashed, I mean, I obviously had the rest of the year mapped out for races and events between motorcycles and bicycles, right? Obviously, World Vet next weekend was, you know, I felt that that was probably my best shot at a podium. That's obviously not going to happen. And then, you know, before the accident, we'd signed up to do Tour de Tucson, which is a 100-mile bicycle ride. Well, that was going to be a walk in the park. Now that's a challenge, right? And that's when I stated, it's like, if I want to do this, then I'm going to have to push myself. And it's not that, you know, we're kind of the same where we already have that work ethic of doing it every day. The only difference now is it's just the percentage that I can do is a lot smaller compared to what I used to do, right? Like I got to force myself to eat and, you know, I'm only really good for 25 to 30 miles. I haven't done any more than that. Maybe tomorrow I might be am I going to try and ride 50 or more on a flat loop? So it's just all progression. But, you know, I don't think and it's like what you come across all the time. If you don't set those goals and push yourself, like I said, I could have sat on that lounge and took handfuls of pills day in and day out. And, you know, the doctors wanted me to take the rest of the year off. It was a traumatic experience and I'm already cycling 100 miles a week. I'm already kind of back in the gym. It's like, I'm not that person, you know? I mean, and when you terms of what we do and how we do it and the amount of effort we put into our training and our sports, it's like you're classed as a semi-professional athlete. You know, you start hitting 10, 12 hours a week training. It's like you're up there. You know, like I know what cyclists do and then everyone and motorcycles. Like, you know, you're there. You're just not getting paid to do it. So you're in that area of an athlete, right?
Yeah.
And it's like I said to these docs that I have people in places all around me that help me to recover and like, you know, I do this or that. And they're not used to that. You know, they're used to the mainstream. It's like, here's more pills, rest. And like I had to plead to them to go back to work within 3 weeks, you know. Also they wanted me off until January. So
that's wild. And yeah, like that's I find the same thing. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I've been prescribed T3s in the past. So I'm like, I've literally poured the like 80% of the bottle out just because like I don't like being on it. And the fact that like to me, T3s just make you constipated and don't do a hell of a lot else. So not needed. I think I would consider myself, I sort of like quote unquote live with wellness. Like I don't grab for a Advil or a Tylenol more than maybe once every 10 days, 2 weeks. Like, it's just never been a practice of mine. So Hoppe, like, I think a lot of that just comes from your motivation to want to move. But not everybody has that. Not everybody has the ability to just sort of like manufacture that like what's necessary to like kickstart the engine. And that's when it comes in then is the habits that you form and the discipline that you use to be able to put that into place. And that's one of the things that I wanted to talk to Sage about is that like I think that you're one of the people who I draw a lot of like inspiration from and just sort of, so like you lead by example every single day, kind of ticking off the things that you need to do to be able to get to where you want to be. Talk about that a little bit, Sage, and just like kind of like compartmentalizing what those habits are and then cultivating the discipline to be able to do it.
For sure. I think, you know, the interesting thing and kind of diving into some reading, you know, through psychology and just different self-development books, what I ultimately came to realize, and this was something where you would just typically see, and I specifically just saw like people's good habits, you know, and you see the things where you're like, oh, financially, that's great. Or physically, that's great. Or, you know, hey, their nutrition or these components. Reality is like, you have to look at habits as kind of a general, like they both good and bad fall under an umbrella, right? When you start to realize the fact that, you have habits built regardless of what they are. All right. They're either good, they're investments, or, you know, maybe not necessarily the greatest. You know, you might be actively trying to overcome those components, but, you know, either way, you get up every single day and you typically form, you know, habits and, you know, custom to your circumstances or, you know, your environment. And so inside of that, you know, it really becomes important for you to like at first self audit, like, what habits do I find myself doing? Like, break it down. Morning, right? By the time I get to work, we're just creatures of habit, right? And so yep. It's really when you start to like really self-analyze and self-audit those habits is where you can begin to make those changes. You know, what would be a little bit better of an option? Or, hey, this is not necessarily making me feel the best. Okay, well, you know, the outcome of that was still a habit that got you to that conclusion. So, you know, the easiest way that I found that, and I've kind of gone through my days, like, you know, starting out the day, I just recently made a post on this because I realized 4 years ago, even before working at First Form, it was one of those things where like you get up, may or may not eat breakfast, immediately grab your phone as soon as 4 alarms went off, started scrolling social media, right? Then got yourself out of bed, went and drank coffee, and then highly processed carb breakfast, right? Typically cereal or whatever else, you know, waffles, poured fake syrup and everything. And so it's like, all right, well, all of those are habits because I'm doing them on a daily basis. And then now I look at my morning routine. It's like, as soon as the alarm goes off, no phone, leave it in the room, go out, immediately start chugging water, you know, get the coffee ready. But within, you know, 30 minutes to an hour is when I'll start drinking it. Mm-hmm. Open up, you know, Bible, open up self-development books, start journaling, you know, like that's now how I start my morning. It wasn't like that forever, but it was just a realization that like it was a habit regardless. I just had to start breaking those things down one solid choice at a time. And then, you know, the discipline component to your point, Brad, is like where these things start to kind of evolve, you know, is every success takes one in a row. So you wake up one day, hey, that's the form, that's starting of a new habit, you know, where the problem lies, like, when you fail back-to-back days, well, now a new habit is also beginning to form, right? So you kind of have to glass half empty. And, so,
you know, there's that saying, you know, people don't decide their futures. It's their habits that decide their futures. And, you know, I'm facing that right now to where, you know, prior to the crash or the accident, when we first, you know, did the first podcast, I mean, again, Sage and I had some messages back and forth and, you know, pumping each other up. He was pumped that I give him some motivation and vice versa with these guys on social media. And it's like, I was very regimented, right? It was like 4:15, 4:30. I'd go to the gym. I'd do this. I'd walk the dogs. I'd read journal, same sort of stuff, right? So now, you know, I had to leave that behind. Mm-hmm. And through the crash, the pain, the recovery and everything else, I've fallen into a different structure, and that structure has to change in the next 2 weeks, right? Like I try and, you know, like if you leave by Garmin, my sleep's not that good. I'm still under stress. The body's recovering, tissue repair and all that sort of stuff. But it's like, you know, I don't get up till 7 now. Right. And then again, like I'll make a coffee and I'll start reading. And then next thing I know, it's at 9:30. It's all right. I'm not at work for another 2 weeks, but I have to now force myself with those habits to, you know, all right, maybe I start getting up at 5:30, right? Because there's so much in those first 2 to 3 hours of a morning that make the day, set the day for the precedent of the rest of the day, right? And again, do I sacrifice sleep and recovery right now, or do I need to go quit being a little bitch and get up at 5 and make it happen, you know? But
yeah,
so that's, you know, they're the things I'm dealing with now. It's like, all right, I have to get back to this routine, and I can't use the previous now as an excuse, right? Like I just have to do it. There's no way around it.
There's anything inside of that.
Yeah.
Just lastly, to that point, you know, I think when you observe these habits, and it's easy to observe some habits with individuals on social media, because it's like the most common thing that you see. It's just seed after seed, or, you know, you see Jocko. Like, I'm a huge fan of following Jocko and have been.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You see him, and it's like 4:30 in the morning, and he's constantly making his posts, doing his workouts. And we have this perception that it seems that these habits are easy. And just like you said, Hoppo, like, it's a battle to make that decision. Those habits are forged, you know, not necessarily just like, it's just pretty easy to get up on my first alarm, you know, at 4:30 in the morning, go hammer
down. Yeah, I mean, it took me nearly 3 years to get to that point, right? So it's not something, you know, yes, there are some people in the world that can flip a switch and go, I'm going to do this, right? But again, you know, that's like, it means going to bed earlier. It means eating better, like what you said, eating whole foods instead of processed foods, and getting, you know, like when I go to the gym, I used to be able to go to the gym and lift and you'd get that pump or whatever. I still can't get that, right? Because of certain movements or what I can and can't do in the gym, basically.
Yeah, like you have to be a little bit more kind to yourself right now. Like, you're not the traditional feeling of just going in there, like pumping the body up and walking out feeling like 50 feet tall and bulletproof.
Yeah.
We're not getting that right now. Like, that's not, yeah.
Yeah.
And but you know what? The work always has to come from before the belief. That's a saying that I was kind of famous from. Andy Frisella, obviously, that's Sage's boss, someone who I've been following since 2015, in his podcasting journey, is the work comes before the belief. You have to, like, identify good behavior, good habits, things that are going to put you in the right position. Are they going to rear their results today? No. Are they going to be a habit today? No. But if you do it today, and you do it tomorrow, and the day after that, you give yourself a fighting chance. And if you can continue to do it, and here's another thing that a lot of people do not, maybe they take for granted, or they don't take into account, is the fact that, like, people think that people who wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day, that it's easy for them even 10 years down the road. It's not. There's going to be days where you feel like you got hit by a truck. Because because you didn't know what you were biting off when you decided to do that team workout, and it absolutely thrashed you, and you still had to do beer league hockey that night. Okay. You know what I mean? Or whatever else. Or you didn't sleep great, but that the alarm's still going off. And and in that moment you have a choice. Are we gonna do what we said we were gonna do? Or are we going to keep laying in bed and enjoy that coziness for a few more hours and leave success for another day? I'll finish off with one other thing that just keeps me going. I have it on my wall in my garage, and I read it before every single workout. Is either sacrifice to meet your goal, or reaching your goal become your sacrifice, period.
Right. Well, I mean, it's the same thing. And I read a quote once, and it's like, you know, we have to do everything in the micro, but everything is measured in the macro. So that means daily work to get the big picture.
Yeah. Success is not owned. It's rented, and it's exactly. Due daily.
That's right. Hey, Andy, in a good way, you know, like, and to help see that long term, talks about, hey, if you win the day, you win enough days in the week, you win the week, right? I think right. to expect perfection is not ideal, nor is
it. No, not 7-0.
No, we're not batting 1,000 here.
We're
right?
not the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, but you win enough weeks, you win the month, right? You win enough months, you win the year, and when you win enough years, you ultimately win life, right? And as you kind of stair step through this component, it really isn't more complicated than that. And, you know, but when you, again, you compare yourself to other people, guys like Jock, and it's like, man, that guy's been waking up at 4 a.m. since, I don't even know, 2012.
Since 4 a.m. was invented.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. And before, so inside of that, you know, like you see this, and not that it becomes any easier as we talked about, but in, you know, kind of just breaking that down, it's like, hey, what does it take to win today? And then as soon as I win today, how do I ensure that I'm winning through the week? And if I've won the majority of the days through the week, you know, that's where you start to, the micro is the best self audit too. The smaller the differences, you know, and how things, you know, is your chair pushed in, like how clean's your car, or all these little things, like the smallest piece of paper, like, you know, you're on, man. When that smallest little thing, it has to get corrected or it has to get straightened. Or, you know, I've gone through, you know, seasons of my life and I'm like, ah, it's good. I'll just go, you know, ah, it's okay. Like, nobody will notice. And then what's the rest of it look like? Workout routine's not on point, slipping with meals, not reading in the morning. Like,
yeah,
I am, you know, I am getting up and scrolling. And so it can teeter both ways, either our habits, you know, so it's just good little
are stuff. What you repeatedly do.
That's right. Yep. That's so good.
I mean, like the scrolling thing, right? Like Instagram or whatever your feed, whatever your go-to is. I mean, I tend, you know, the way my feed is set up, I mean, like you guys are on there and it's like, sometimes I use that as inspiration because I know the feed I'm going to get. I'm going to get your message because you're 2 hours ahead of me. So then sometimes, like you said, you know, no phone or whatever, but then there's days when I go, I need some motivation. I know these guys are posted or whatever. So yeah, that's a fine line, I think, for, you know, I'm not going to say it's something I do every day, but there's times when I'll go, you know what? I just need that little kick this morning to
right.
just
sometimes I check, like, did Matty Zed go to the gym this morning? Yeah, he did. And then I'm like, you know what? If Matty Z can go to the gym, then maybe I can I can get my ass in the gym and smash some weights. I like how he specifically only really posts pictures of him doing like trap bar deads. Or something to that effect, but we all look pretty jacked doing like trap bar deading like 405 or whatever the hell that was.
Loaded up.
What's that?
I said loaded up.
Yeah, I'm always curious if that's a one rep max or if he's repping that out for 10, but I'm not gonna just throw an extra plate on there for the photo.
let's see a video.
Bottom of that, on the podcast next, but. You'd mentioned getting things like do you use the power list on a regular basis? I think like that sort of like is all encompassing when it comes to forging these habits and the discipline to do it, and keeping yourself accountable. The accountability piece is maybe the most important. Is that a tool that you use, or how do you keep track of yourself and sort of do that sort of thing?
In a form like a hard copy form, I think a power list is a great way. And for some context, essentially a power list is like, it's 5 critical tasks inside of your day that you need to execute on that are going to progress you moving forward, whatever category that you're trying to go. It could be, you know, ultimately in your career, could be in, you know, personal development, could be a side job, could be fitness. So it's just critical tasks that, you know, they shouldn't necessarily be easy, but you know, it's kind of one of those things where, hey, you know, if you accomplish those 5, then you won.
For on mine, well, I'm doing 75 hard right now, but like 100 ounces of water is on there every single, like a gallon of water every single day. It's on there.
Yeah.
Reading 10 pages. It's on there. If there's a habit you want to forge, put it on the list and execute it every single day. And so you're going to notice if you didn't.
When you went to England, Brad, did you stay on 75 hard, or did you take
a day
off?
I'm still doing it, aren't I?
I know you are now, but did you do push-ups on the plane?
I did my workout before I got on the plane.
Okay.
Both of my flights were in the afternoon, thank you very much. Okay. And I averaged 30,000 steps a day while I was there.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
To that point, the power list, I think, so as far, even in my job here, like I use that. I know that, hey, there's things that come up in the day. Like, of course, there's just, you know, random things need to get done. You have a to-do list and those components. But I know that I have five things that I need to get done in order to win my day. And I can also look back inside of that. And I have a hard copy. I know, Brad, you do this too, but, you know, it's not something I do on my phone. I physically write those tasks out. And I cross those things off with pen in hand. And it's so fulfilling. Like, I love the check, like most of us do. But as you go through, it's also great because you can flip through 30 days time and you can look at, you know, hey, this category was the one that I lost the most amount in. Why is that? And it's a good self audit piece to run back through, you know, and then, okay, well, is that the thing that I truly need? You know, yes, no. If I'm still succeeding without it, hey, is there something that I can move or implement? And so it gives you feedback, like a direct feedback loop as to, hey, you know, if I'm not where I want to be, well, how many days in the last month did you win? You know, or the last 60 days did you win? Or the last 90 days did you win? You know, because if you think about it, this is one of the best ways that really opened my eyes. If you go 5 for 7, right, which technically, again, is majority of the time, you know, if you break that down on a calculator, like, what are you getting? You're getting about a C average, right? Not terrible, not amazing. Now expand that over 100 days. You know, if you get a C average over 100 days, 71% of the time over 100 days, that's an entire month of progress that you lost. So you're like, Saturday and Sunday is not that big of a deal, right? Like, but that's where 2 days at a time over the span of 100 days, like,
it's next.
So it's just, but absolutely, I think the power list is such a great, you know, initial habit trackers. Hey, what are the five critical tasks? And if I win those five things, I've won the day. You know, sure, you can do more, but minimum five things.
Certainly. And what I think is the most powerful thing from the power list is just the confidence that you get from being able, if you are successful with crossing those things off, all that's going to lead to is conquering more things throughout the day.
That's right. Yeah. It bleeds into everything else that you begin to do. To Hoppo's point earlier, hey, you start taking the micro, it starts to paint the picture of the macro, you know? And so inside of that, like, and even, and this is like, I say five tasks. It might be one task for you to start, you know, even if you're launching that initial one task and building that, you know, again, to the self-development space and the podcast, five is, you know, kind of one of those components where I think it's a good start, but you might be in a position where it's like, hey, the one thing that I need to do to win today is going to be going out and getting some movement. It's going to be, hey, picking up a book, or instead of scrolling, I'm going to go listen to a podcast. So just start there.
Right. Because everyone's point or what they need to do is different, right?
Yeah.
And like, everyone has even though we're all on the same page here, our different wants and needs are going to be more personal.
I'll wear 32 pants in motocross.
Yeah, we'll see that next week. Do you want cable ties as well for expansion?
I'm going to sock you in the ribs.
For the listeners out there that might want to know, I mean, the power list is an Andy Frizzell hard copy book, right? That people can get from, you know, from, is it First Form Direct? You're going to order it off their website?
You go to AndyFrizzella.com.
AndyFrizzella.com. Yeah, they have it right on there.
Yeah. Okay. So if someone's looking for that and they want to better themselves, obviously, you know, that's a good place to start. And like I said, you know, it's the small.
There's also a couple of other free books on that website as well, I think.
Yeah. You got a couple other. And then he has an entire podcast around winning the day. If don't quote me on this, I think
episode 107.
Is it 107? Yep.
With you?
I will put, no, it's not with me. I did have Andy on my podcast back in 2018, I believe. Which I will put the link to both that show and episode 107 in the description of this podcast. Before we switch over to kind of switch gears and look forward to the task at hand, which is preparing for 2024 World Vet Championships at Glen Helen that both Sage and I are competing with or in, as well as Aaron Nigley. Sage, what product from First Form right now can you not get enough of that is just like it's in your fridge or it's in your pantry, but it's not there for long because you're just devouring it?
So that's such a great question. I actually got two, and I know that doesn't, that kind of defeats the purpose, but the S'mores Level 1 bar is amazing. It's so good. We haven't had a release outside of the seasonal of the Level 1 bars for a little while now, but the S'mores is absolutely awesome. Throw it in the bag, good little meal replacement. But the Formula 1 Clear, I'm actually going to snag some of that and bring some of that out next week. So that'll be a good little, but it's more of a, it's a, basically a whey protein isolate. It's basically fruit flavor. It's more of a juice like. So rather than kind of that milk consistency where you get, you know, chocolate or vanilla milkshake, we just strawberry limeade is unbelievable. It is so smooth. Actually do a little bit more water than typical, you know, which sounds counterintuitive with protein, but do about 16, 18 ounces of water. That strawberry limeade is so refreshing. So I'll snag that and bring it out next week so we can recover from some motos, because Lord knows we'll need it.
Yeah, we definitely will need it. I would imagine with more water, the uptake is probably a lot easier. Like, it'd probably be quicker, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, definitely from a hydration piece. For whatever reason, like, again, it just goes back. They simplify the ingredient profile, so there's only six ingredients inside of there. And as far as, like, just taste and flavor profile – it's a little on the sweeter side. So with that extra water, it helps from the flavor profile, but also definitely doesn't hurt from a hydration piece either.
I like it. I'm so glad that the companies like First Form now exist, because like having like just protein powders from like the late 90s, like I can't even imagine. Like Papo, when you were like in the prime of your athletic career, protein drinks tasted like shit, and they didn't blend.
Or the original Power Bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like, like just a bar of just poop. The worst.
like I said 100 times on these, it's like I grew up on an island. And everything took 3 months to get there on a boat. So,
yeah,
you know, including you the results that first from Power Bar in 92, it's like, damn, dude, this has traveled some time, distance.
Yeah. No, all I remember is like old school, like my buddy of mine's dad used to have protein powder that we would take after our workouts. And like, you'd have to put it in a blender to get it to not be all like kind of clumpy and shitty, and then you drink it, and it would like kind of stick to the back of your teeth, and you're like, "What is this? Ugh. Never doing this again."
Brad, change directions here. You went to Motocross the Nations,
yeah,
and you watched Tim Geiser won both motos, correct?
Yes, sir.
Was he the fastest guy on the day?
He deserved
to win. I mean, I seen a quote that David Bailey said, "Welcome to the 1-1 club."
Yeah, I think he was the fastest through the ruts. He navigated that track. Like he rides there extremely well to begin with. But the fact that he had a lead, relinquished the lead, and then snatched it back from what I would consider to be, and I think is more or less the consensus, baddest man on a dirt bike in the world right now, in Jet Lawrence, that he can take it back from that guy, that's got to be the first last lap pass that we've seen Jet give up ever, aside from when he went like ass over tea kettle in the whoops in 2020.
Yep.
That's rare air. And the fact that he does it twice. And if you look at the starting lineup of that third moto, it reads like an all-star game.
Like, for sure.
It's Fevre. It's Tomac. It's Geiser. It's the Lawrence brothers. It is literally every who's who. It's Jeffrey Herlings. It is literally every fast guy. The number of like world championships, AMA championships on that line was sobering. And then you have one guy who's just going to rise above all of them and race off with the victory. He wins the day. He single-handedly gets Slovenia to like an eighth overall. Like, he's a one-man team.
Yeah. So who else impressed you the most out of all those guys? I mean,
Lucas Koenen. Koenen and Kai DeWolf. I'll give you two guys. Lucas Koenen, when he comes over, is going to be a problem, especially if he spends some time in the 250 class, like guys like Marvin have, because I think he's going to spend a year in the 450 class next mm-hmm. year, but I think he moves back down to 250s to race 2 years of 250, like Supercross, and then goes 450 for 2027 and beyond. I guess by then it'd be 2028 and beyond. That kid, just like the balance and the fluidity that he rides with, it was really, really impressive right up until he broke his collarbone. And then on race day, I think the guy who popped out the most to me would have been Kai DeWolf, because when you hunt down Aaron Plessinger on a 250 on a track like that, when he's on a 450, that's hats off.
Like, he was at KTM today on a lunchtime bicycle when I was there.
Name dropper.
Lunchtime bicycle ride. I didn't.
Fair enough. Was it his 450 that Sage gets to ride at World Vets?
Yeah, possible. We'll just change the numbers for him.
Yeah. No, that's the same. No, I was like, if not for, I think it was the crash that, Koldenhoff had, I think that would have been probably the biggest threat to the Aussies of winning. And actually I haven't had a podcast with you since. Congratulations, sir.
Oh, thank you.
For the first time ever.
That's it.
The Chamberlain trophy is going down under.
That's it. First time ever. They'll give those boys the key to the country.
As they should. Yeah. And like, I think there was a little bit of a tear in the eye of Jeff Leisk.
Yep.
I think you'd have to give a little bit of a nod. You know, like Sage is sitting over there asking, who the fuck is Jeff Leisk? That'd be like me or Sage naming baseball players aside from Mookie Betts. Yeah. Or Shohei Ohtani. But or Burner. Like I talked to Burner right after, like Michael Byrne, mm-hmm. a guy who he fought to have a position on that team. He was on that team and like saw the whole thing come crumbling apart when mm-hmm. Chad is upside down in the first corner of Moto One. Yeah, a lot of really strong teams have come very close and not gotten it done. And they finally did.
Yep. It was on the cards, that's for sure.
Yeah. And shout out to, and like huge hats off to Kyle Webster, because he was getting a good night's sleep the night before the race, he was probably on all kinds of.
There were some nerves.
Yep. Yeah. Like, because it was on him. It was absolutely on him.
Right. And yeah, the other two were going to hold their own. That's for sure.
So, did you guys watch it at all?
No, I wasn't all there when that race was on.
Right. You weren't 100%. And that, if I'm not mistaken, that was the weekend prior to the first form ride day. So, Sage, you would have been up to your ears in bike prep at the time.
Pretty much. Bike prep, event prep, making sure everybody stays ready to go. But we did get some good news on that too. It's like everything kind of went well from that component. So we should be able to drop some more opportunities to connect with more individuals kind of across the country throughout next year. So should be an awesome opportunity.
Awesome. I love to hear that. I was bummed that I missed it. Obviously stayed in the UK for another 5 days, 6 days. Which closed my window of being able to come down there, but that's not going to stop us from riding together this fall. Because yeah, I just threw out a kind of a loosey goosey invite to yourself as well as, Z-Man and, Mr. Niggly. And, two positive RSVPs. You will be in California in 1 week's time. And in fact, you leave tomorrow, to officiate a wedding, but, we will all descend upon Glen Helen in 7 days' time. And I will be hosted by the one, the only Andrew Hobson.
I'm looking forward to it. It's actually your bed's just staying right next to me where you're staying. So
perfect.
You're all good. The air bed, dude. That's all I got.
I'm excited. Sage, take me through the process of me inviting you to this. And then was it just like immediately like, yes, I'm down? Or like, what, like, did you, I get, like, you've never even ridden, you've never even actually seen the hills of Glen Helen.
Just a little bit past it on the highway there. That's it. So,
yeah. And now yeah. You're going to race it in 1 week's time.
That's what I was talking to Aaron about. You know, is, you know, he goes, how, and this, we tried to get Matty Zed in there too, but you know, it's like, how do you, on such an iconic component? And, you know, so originally this is since knowing Brad, throw text messages, ideas, everything back and forth. Hey, what about this? We should do this. We should do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, reach down.
This is now two events that I've gotten you free admission to, by the way. I don't want to keep score, but I'm keeping score.
He's a factory rider next weekend. Like, yeah. Come on. Factory all the way.
But yeah, so, I checked my phone one day and it's a group message. And, you know, Brad is basically throwing out this proposal. Simply put, headline, World Vets, comp, bike, you know, somewhere around there. And I immediately texted the guys back and because like we have our, you know, first forum, just group chat amongst us. And like, what do you guys think? And it was kind of crickets. You know, I think they're like trying to logistically. And so I was like, all right, that's it. You know, like I needed to respond back to Brad. So I think I was the first person to tell you, like, I'll be out there. I'm pretty much in.
You're already there, so you're just staying a little bit longer. So that actually works. And you're from California. People don't know that.
Yeah, from California. So I got a bunch of family out there. And so I had to coordinate a couple of pieces to stay with some people and then make sure, obviously, leadership was good with me just working through the computer all week. But, go ahead. So after that, texted Aaron and I'm like, hey, you know, are you in or are you out? And he's following up with his wife and doing it. And he's like, you know what? Went through flights. And I told him, I was like, hey, I'll go pick you up Thursday. You're in. And he's like, okay. Bought some tickets, really tried hard to swing Matty Z. But I guess he had some, I don't know, prior days or something. I know. So a little bit bummed, but two of the three amigos be heading out there, which would be super cool. But yeah, first time for me at Glen Helen and me riding a 450, it sounds like. So a little bit extra power for me.
You'll be fine.
We'll be all right. But no, I'm excited. It's I sent Aaron the track layout yesterday and it all started again from a text. So that's twice this year, Brad.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, yeah, it had to start somewhere. And don't you worry about your prep or your experience at this track. I know I have on good authority that this event is often raced by those who A, have never ridden the track before. B, people who like, I literally know guys who have maybe ridden like twice all year. One of which was at World Vets. Like they just like, I committed to it. I'm doing it. And that is why. When you get to the top of Mount St. Helen, you will take note of the fact that the braking bumps start at the top because you've got 50 plus year old men like Hoppo who literally crest the hill and like start to feather the front brake the entire way down.
You
know what? I'll probably be one of them after maybe ascend it for a few
minutes. Let's just see if you get in the air off the top first.
Hey, come on now.
Chris Feather's gonna be no trees.
Exactly. They're the
rocks, no stumps.
There, if you actually look at some of the layouts that Glen Helen had back in the day, like there used to be a tabletop that literally used the downhill as a landing.
Yep.
That was scary as hell. Because it was like it was probably like a 70-foot tabletop, and then if you sent it long, you're going like 220 feet down the hill. Like it was just like, oh no. And that's two stroke days. That's like 01, 02. I'm excited about it. This is going to be a lot of fun. And, we're going to do some first form stuff. We're going to have, we're going to do some filming with, you've got a buddy. Is it Pinned Out that's coming out?
Yeah. Travis from Pinned Out Productions. He said, nice. You know, good. Chip figure out a way to get some stuff. And yeah, great kid. So he recently just kind of got plugged in with the brand here, and one of those deals, text away, phone call away. And, you know, whenever you're in the area, you got to hit up everybody. And so it sounds like he'll be rolling out and snagging some content. So
nice. Good. Perfect. Yeah. We're going to, like, Hoppo's just making sure that we're just taken care of as far as bikes go. Shout out to KTM for letting us thrash their motorcycles. And yeah, we'll be back on this podcast in probably 2 weeks' time to talk about it.
Yep, for sure.
Before we let you go on the podcast, we do some repeating questions. And because you're a repeating guest, this is the first time we actually can go through these once more. What book are you reading right now? That's the first question on our kind of like closing out questions. What's currently, is it an audio book? Are you paging through something right now? What are you reading?
Paging through Chop Wood, Carry Water. Pretty simple. But first time through, it's recommended through a couple people inside of here. And, it's a short read, but life principles, it's, super applicable. Like it's one of, definitely getting me to think a little bit. So I've been enjoying it, probably coming up on halfway. So Chop Wood, Carry Water.
Fair enough. What is something in the last year that you wish you did more of?
I don't know. It's been a pretty good year. But I would say like ride more. You always need more seat time. But
seat time.
Yeah. Simply put, ride more. One thing that I actually definitely mountain biking. So early on, like prior to all the travels going through September and everything, right before that, I had snapped the brake lever off my mountain bike and then was gone all of September. And then right now it's such an awesome, I wish you guys could see it out here in the Midwest, but like the trails, primo, the woods are all different colors, like the trees are changing. And so just took my bike into the bike shop right now, but I actually didn't get a whole lot of seat time on that. So going to have to fix that, but yep. A lot of seat time moto, which is good, but I'm excited. I got a whole kind of plan for some road bike and mountain biking going into the spring. So it'll be good.
Awesome.
Love it. Final question for you. Who would you consider to be your number one mentor right now? And has that changed since we talked to you last?
Number one mentor. I don't think a lot of that has changed. I think, you know, I got several awesome mentors inside of here. And it's just, yeah, it's really cool. Like just being able to, this new phase of life, I have a feeling is going to bring one. Obviously, you know, we talked about this in the beginning, you just made an announcement, but
yeah. Congratulations. You're going to be a dad.
So I would say that not a lot has changed as of yet, but hey, if I get the chance to come on a third time, I can almost say that there's going to be some different mentors in there.
Awesome, man. That is fantastic. And probably, yeah, maybe some different reading material coming along the way as well.
For what Andrew to Popson, expect when you're expecting.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Expecting probably your recreational time to be less. But yeah, still prioritizing the movement. But yeah, for Andrew Hobson here on the Big MX Radio podcast, thank you so much for making some time for us today, my friend.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. I love this stuff. And Sage, thank you very much for attending. And we'll see you in a week. It's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, this was awesome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.